mesdames et messieurs. Today, coming to you live on the Triple M Worldwide Network. On bass, Santo Cellaro. On drums, Sam Pang. And on a very big synthesizer, today's special guest, Glenn Robbins. So jump on board the Five Ring Express. It's time for the Rush Hour, Going for Gold.
Oh, yes. Welcome to the Rush Hour, Going for Gold. Your chance to catch up with all the Olympic action without the Big Brother promos. Joining me over the next 2 hours, a man who was at the official games opening, Sam Pang.
Ah, Santo. Samuel. Hello, Santo. It was a night I'll never forget. Right. And I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the Indian team for letting me march with them. I had an absolute... It's a night I'll never forget.
That's so nice.
And I thought my red hoodie came up a treat.
I think I really enjoyed it. We've got a big show today. All the latest from London. We'll be joined by special guest Glenn Robbins, Danny Frawley, and I believe we'll be putting a call through to disappointed relay swimmer James Magnusson. Whether we get through or not is a different matter. I think John Rooney didn't get too far last night. That's all coming up on the Rush Hour, Going for Gold.
It's the Rush Hour, Going for Gold. While JB and Bill are in London, we are joined for the next couple of weeks by Santo Cellaro and Sam Pang.
Isn't it great to know that Kurt Cobain was a big fan of the Olympics? I believe he loved the badminton. He was a big fan of the
badminton. I didn't
badminton.
Know that, Santo.
I'm going to take an Olympic oath before I start now.
I think it'd be a perfect way to start, yes.
We're here for 2 weeks for the Rush Hour, Going for Gold. So I thought I might start with a solemn promise. I promise to make incisive, intelligent and well-informed observations about the games of the 30th Olympiad, despite the fact I know nothing about taekwondo, kayaking and why guys in that horse competition wear top hats. I mean, surely they should be cowboy hats, shouldn't they?
You should, based on that, you could be commentating. But that's a beautiful way to start.
I hereby... declare the games open. Now, Sam, were you? I'm guessing you were like the 4 billion people around this globe watching the opening ceremony. I certainly was.
I thought it was a massive success.
Yes,
Santo. Can I just say that?
Yeah.
I think that any English event that ends with without the Duke of Edinburgh racially vilifying someone is always a win. Although you could see him biting his tongue when Botswana went by. And they were followed by Burkina Faso. So you could just see I thought he was under the most pressure.
He was.
And when the Congo, the Cook Islands and Costa Rica, I think he just stormed out of the stadium after that. Because they saw it. I'm not really going to get to enjoy these as I was. But Danny Boyle, Santo, he was the director.
He did us proud. We did the British proud.
He did.
It was a big meadow that represented all the great periods of English history.
Yeah. Were you as surprised as I were that Kenneth Branagh's still working? That's good.
Good on him.
It's his best role for a while.
He played Abraham Lincoln, I believe.
He did. And, didn't know that. That was good.
Yeah. They just left out a couple of the golden era. It was the Brixton riots. They left that one out. The plague.
Oh, the plague. I think the plague was one of Danny Boyle had to cut. Yeah. Some of it. So I think they left the plague and the Brixton riots out.
What, they had to cut 3/4 of an hour out. Well, they could have cut out the second third of Hey Jude. Now, I don't want to be disrespectful, but he was rubbish. Dame Paul McCartney, is he looking more like a woman every day? Now, his stats were not good.
I think it's all right.
How many unforced errors can a guy make? I counted 32. His strike rate, he hit one note in every three, I reckon. By the end, it was Hey Jude. By the end, it sounded like Yellow Submarine. In fact, what happened to Ringo? They may as well have had Ringo out there and just save themselves the money.
Can I say this, Santo? A billion people tuned in for the opening ceremony.
Yeah, yeah.
The opening ceremony of the 2012 Olympic Games, and Paul McCartney's going, wouldn't you think it's a perfect opportunity to do something off the new album? Don't you think? Why just pump out Hey Jude?
Well, was he reading off an auto cue? He was looking off to the side. Now, I reckon go the whole log. If you're going to have an auto cue, you may as well mime the whole thing.
Yeah,
and a little bit.
I think there's one person be happy though after seeing Paul McCartney for Meatloaf. Yeah. feeling absolutely great about his performance now at last year's Grammy.
I was really impressed with the athletes' parade. I know you were talking about the athletes' parade before. It was great. The traditional salute, the left-handed wave, holding up the iPhone with the other hand.
And
at the same time trying to get the addresses from the girls in the Panama team.
That is so Olympic opening ceremony. I thought they know that well, but...
And there was an imposter out there, I believe. I don't know how Bernard Tomic actually got in. I think it's time to go for a break, isn't it? London Update. Oh, yes, it is time for an update. And I tell you what, I like getting my news from the ABC. There's a website that the sports ABC have. And I went through the headlines this morning. The headlines read, this is just on the webpage, Aussies bomb, Kutis third, Tomic eliminated, exhausted Evans, turnovers costly. I believe that's the basketball. Opening loss, that's the Hockey Roos against the Black Sticks. And slow start, that's the women's volleyball team. So
that sums up our day too.
That is not a great... In fact, when I watched the Nine Network this morning, London Gold, that's at 9 a.m., it was a pretty slow show this morning. It was, I think, Christian Springer getting a silver, Alicia Coots getting a bronze, and lots of underbelly promos. It was it's kind of a slow day.
Well, that weren't headlines. That's more like a eulogy. It's like the Australian Olympics are over, but that's not quite the case. Christian Springer.
Yes,
I like the celebration.
Springer
mm-hmm. I like the celebration of kind of not always gold. Some competitors are wrapped with silver and bronze. He was one. Alicia Coots won a bronze in the 100-meter butterfly.
Yeah, even Emily Seebohm the night before absolutely wrapped to get through to the final.
Yeah, with a new Olympic record. So you know, I think the Aussies flop seems to be the way that day two has been covered. But you know, there's lots to look forward to.
Well, Emily Seebohm, she's in the last 12 months, she's had two bouts of tonsillitis, bronchitis, pancreatitis, and the swine flu. She's had the swine flu, and she's in a final. So that is a great story.
Well, if you know, it's a win if she doesn't drown. So that's to be beating records as she goes into the final tonight is great.
The big news over the weekend, maybe we don't hear as much from the non-Australian competitors, but do you know anything about Shi Wenye, the Chinese girl? Hey, look, I'm not just...
Why? There's an assumption
no,
there.
No, there's no assumption. Okay. There is no assumption.
Oh, fine.
Just do the maths. Okay. It's she's 16 years old, okay?
Yep.
She won the individual 400 individual medley relay. Her final 50 metres, which is freestyle, is the final 100 metres. Her split for the final 50 metres was 28.93. Yeah. Earlier that evening, Ryan Lochte from the men's US team, the guy who beat Phelps, he was in fourth position. He did exactly the same race, and she beat him in the last 50 metres. She's 16.
Yeah, well, look, I'm no expert, but from what I gather, if you are a woman and you swim faster than a man, you usually win your event.
Yes.
So what are you saying, though?
A 16-year-old Chinese girl can do that. She's not built like, you know, she's not built like an Adonis, the Greek goddess equivalent of an Adonis. I just think that's remarkable. I do think that that's fantastic.
Wonder watch. Or is there actually Olympics over? I like the idea of your Olympics finishing after day three.
And while we're speaking about her, this show is proudly brought to you by Chemist Warehouse. And that's not that I'm saying anything about them.
Just on the disappointment, though, the 4x100 metres, that's the big one where our weapons of mass destruction, as they're called, because they've got a missile and a target.
They fight upon themselves.
Exactly, they did. And that was actually quite a disappointing result, considering we did go in favourites. And the big thing seems to be there is that the missile, we switched the order from four years ago.
He was always at the end.
Yes, but they decided to switch it and let him go out first.
Yes.
It didn't work.
No, they lost. I like what Grant Hackett had to say at the very end of that. He said, "You've got to swim hard. You can't leave anything in the pool." Now, that's true, because when I was growing up and I used to go to the local bars, right? I hated it when kids would leave something in the pool.
It's the rush hour going for gold. The rush hour going for gold. Sam Pang, Santo Chilaro.
Thank you, Higo. And it's now time to introduce a special friend of the show. And if it's a friend of the show, it's a friend of ours, Sam.
Oh, yeah.
AFL legend, TV superstar, and currently the only member of Triple M not to be in London, our friend Danny Frawley. Danny, what are you doing?
Unbelievable intro. It's better than JB and Billy. Look, I must admit, I was a little bit flat. Yeah. Someone has to hold the team. You know, the foundations of the Triple M footy team, Santo, as you know, that if the foundation goes, the building crumbles.
And you're the backbone.
So the doorknobs and the door handles, they're over there, Olympics. Mm-hmm. And JB, it's amazing.
How do you think he's going so far,
look,
Danny?
Really well as a commentary, but just don't get into the the nitty-gritty of rowing. No. Now, for a start, it's look, it was a good coverage by Channel 9, but JB, a couple of times, called the rowing course a track. Now, I don't think it's a track.
Well, it's a track full of water.
He said they're very fit players slash rowers. And our Kim Crowe. Now, I played footy with Kim's father. He played for Essendon, St Kilda, and the Western Bulldogs, Max Crowe, 200-game player. Kim Crowe looks like she's going to win a medal, hopefully gold, in the single sculls and the double sculls. And JB said former Hawthorn champion. And it wasn't quite that way. It was the other three clubs. But other than that, he's doing a great job.
I thought JB really let himself down when he actually said, we'll be back after half time. Don't you think that was where you really knew that he was just, he's just itching to break into it?
No, he's doing a very, very good job. But the weekend's rounds... were pretty interesting on the weekend, boys. I'm not sure. Santa,
I got 9 out of 9, so it wasn't all that. Well, it's
pretty
embarrassing. I'm a Collingwood supporter.
How do you think they're going?
I think they're not travelling all that well at the moment.
Well, it was great to see Travis Cloak get into some form. Yes. I know people say, oh, well, they're playing GWS, a bunch of kids, but...
he's still got to get it.
You don't lose your ability, but you lose your confidence. Mm-hmm. And that would have done his confidence no end of the world of good.
Yeah. No, six goals against the Washington Generals, Danny. That's a fair... Like, he is back. Open up the contract talks again. Isn't now the chance
well,
to get it back?
Look, I think they want to see him do it this week against St Kilda. That's going to be a pretty big match for Colin. Who do you back for?
Carlton.
You would have been happy Saturday night. The poor old Tigers. Damien Hardwick, the last three matches, have lost a game by less than a kick. He's really disappointing. 13 points up with 6 minutes to play. Brock McLean done a fantastic job. He's never kicked a 60-metre goal in his life, and he's tried to pass it to Levi.
He's bounced that over there.
But my question is, what's more surprising to you, Brock McLean with a pass... a 60-metre pass that went for goal to Levi Casbolt, or the fact that Carlton has a player called Levi Casbolt. What is more surprising to you?
The last one, because surely they've got to name him Mick or Basil or something like that as a nickname down at Carlton. Surely they couldn't call him Levi.
It's a tough one. But what about the Richmond you just touched on? 3 weeks in a row, all less than a kick. So what's going on?
Oh, Damien Hardwick will have a migraine. Look, for a couple of weeks now. Unfortunately, their season's done. It's done and dusted. They've been good enough to play in the finals. That's the fact. You don't lose games, 3 games in a row. I think it's 6 now by less than 2 goals. So you can have a look at their class. It's probably the players from 16 to 22. They need to bolster them up. The unfortunate part about it, Jack Riewoldt and, you know, Deledio, they're very good players. But when you want all your good players to play well, unfortunately, and Carlton have won 3 out of the last 4. Brett Ratten was under a lot of pressure. Mm. But I think he's done enough now to hold his job. I really believe that. I think there's a lot of scrutiny on coaches now. And you have a look at the amount of injuries they've had. I think he's done an extremely good job the last month.
I think it's interesting you say that, you know, young players don't play all that well. I mean, look at Nick Natanui. He can't really string a good game together, can he? I mean, really. What was it, 36 hit-outs, was it? Two hangers. What was it? How many goals did he get? 3 goals?
He was unbelievable.
And that assist, did you see the tap over the head?
You know your football.
I'm
not surprised. I'm taken back.
He's done his research. He bought the Herald Sun.
Making me look foolish. But Hawthorn...
Wait till I do the rowing.
They're the best kicking team I've seen in my 25 years. They are an unbelievable outfit. To have 12 different goal kickers, Lance Franklin's not even out there. Luke Hodge comes back after 8 or 9 weeks out, kicks 5. They're unbelievable. The left-footers on the weekend, and we don't go on stats much, but the 11 left-footers at half-time are going 82% by foot. Mm-hmm. The league average to hit targets about 66%. And it's just amazing how they've got so many good players in form. All the youngsters are playing well. They're the team to beat. The issue is, it's like the marathon, the Olympics. They're at the 30K mark. Can they sustain and maintain that intensity for the next 10 weeks? It's going to be really difficult to see how they do that in the conditioning staff.
Just before what was that stat about the left footers, Danny, again? 66%?
They went at 82% by foot. Right. And the league average is 66%.
Amazingly, JB gave the same stat during the rowing on Saturday morning. So,
Danny,
it's very weird.
The rowing technique.
Stick around. You want to talk Olympics with us?
We should. Because it's all the news at the moment,
please,
as well as footy.
Stick around.
This is the Rush Hour going for gold. We've got Sam Pang and Santo Chilaro.
Oh, thanks, Higa. And we are back. And Danny Frawley's still there. Danny, have you been watching the Five Ring Circus?
It's been unbelievable. I'm very tired. I've got Fox Sports at home. There's eight channels.
How do you do it? See, yeah. I've got it. It's exactly like juggling, isn't it? I mean, you're trying to flip from one to the other. How do you do it?
I've gone cross-eyed. Yeah. I'm confused. Yeah. But I really like the cycling on Saturday night. Everyone thought that Mark Cavendish, the local boy, the Brits, Sky, you know, Wiggins winning the Tour de France, are going to win it. Mm-hmm. The Aussies and a couple of breakaways went out, and they really got a stretch that the Britain team couldn't catch up. We're talking about it before that in professional cycling, you've got earpieces. So if it had been the Tour de France, they would have been saying to Cavendish and, more importantly, Wiggins and Froome, who are his teammates, to lead him in. And then, because if it had been a bunch sprint, Cavendish would have won. But because they're not earpiece to their director of cycling, they didn't know how far they're in front. So they left their run too late. They squealed a little bit. Cavendish said, oh, well, there's a lot of teams out there riding against us. Guess what? It's the Olympics. It's once every 4 years.
Yeah.
Alexander Vinokourov won it. Now, he would have been 120-1 before the race. But our very own Stuart O'Grady, he was unbelievable. He finished sixth. He's 39 years of age. That is an amazing effort to race over 250 kilometres. But the big story, of course, is James, our sprinter this morning, the 4x100 men's relay in the swimming.
Everyone's pointing at him because he's the loudest. Mm. But, it's the team. The team didn't. It sounded like they had a plan, and that is Magnussen out in front, and then we'll figure out the rest. And when that fell apart, then the whole thing fell apart.
You don't have a plan B, though, don't you, Danny?
Well, you don't. Not in the Olympics, unfortunately. No. But I think he was the anchor leg.
When they
broke the world record about 2 or 3 months ago. They put him out the front. I think what you said was right. They wanted to smash the opposition into oblivion, but he swam something like a second and a half outside his best.
So they're expecting him to be a body length ahead.
At least length ahead, and then all of a sudden the momentum would have built. And not to meddle, it's really disappointing. So I'll be interested to see how he goes in the individual scenarios now, because he's under an enormous amount of pressure because he's talked it up, and I liked it. I like a player or an athlete that really backs themselves in. He said, I'm going over there to win gold.
But, okay, you talk it up, but at the end of it, the lips were buttoned together at the end, and you're thinking, well, hang on, you sort of got to face the music a bit. You know, he just refused to speak really at the end of the the swim.
I think you're right, Sam, because he's getting sponsors, and rightly so, because he's one of our country's greatest athletes, and he's well-sponsored, and he's well-remunerated. And I think his sponsors would have expected him to get on the front foot and show why he's the brand of a certain company. And I think just to hand it over to the other three guys that were probably not the underlings, they're still outstanding athletes, I think he had to step up. And look, it's a tough one, because what do you do in that position? He's never been in that position before, so he is human. So if he had his time again, he would have got on the front foot.
Well, you could start by finishing full sentences, couldn't you, Danny? That would be one way to start at a post-race interview, just finish the sentence.
And he didn't.
He couldn't.
Maybe he should have listened to JB's commentary in the rowing.
Yes, he would have got
a bit of feedback there.
When I saw that, I actually didn't see the race. I got home and I saw the interview, and I thought the guy was just talking to four Richmond supporters.
But on a positive, what about the girls? They've done it again in the swimming.
Yep.
You know, we've got Kate Campbell there, Elisa Coutts, Brittany Emsley, and Melanie Schlanger. I like saying that word, Melanie Schlanger. They won the 4x100. Unbelievable. You can see the excitement on their faces. And
it's Schlangermania over there. It really is.
Lucille Jones qualified fifth.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, for all those people out there that had a look at the photos the other day, she's ranked, at the moment, she's the fifth fastest breaststroker in the world.
Yeah.
So before you get off your couch and you're eating your bag of chips and your peach and say, oh, maybe she wasn't like she was when she's 14, guess what? She's not.
She's not.
She's the only athlete in our country that's competed at 4 swimming Olympics, which is an amazing effort, and she's a chance to medal tonight. So let's hope she does.
Well, you heard it here first. And just a quick one before we go, Danny. I just want this, just to back to AFL.
Yes.
Will you ever coach again?
Have a look at my hair, Sam. The only thing that happened.
It's a very strong hairline though, mate.
Well, it is, but it went 8 shades of grey. Coaching Matty Richardson and the boys.
There's a book called that,
I think. Well, tell you what, there's a lot of
husbands. It's very popular at the moment.
Well, the wives out there are reading it, but I think the husbands are quite happy they are.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
A nice byproduct.
Move on.
We'll be back after the break.
This is the Rush Hour, going for gold, 105.1 Triple M, Santa Chilaro and Sam Pang.
And how excited are we? We've got a very special guest, Mr. Tom Gleisner. Tom.
Thank you very much.
Wow, good music too.
Indeed, a delight to be here at such a momentous time.
Have you been enjoying the Olympics?
I have, like just about everyone watched the big opening ceremony in various sort of fits and starts. look, Danny Boyle's getting a lot of credit, and rightly so, but I do think he owed a certain debt to Melbourne 1956, and for those not old enough to remember.
And now the Australian Broadcasting Commission presents Olympic City 1956.
It was an absolutely epic, it only ran about 3 minutes, but it was a fantastic opening ceremony. It goes a bit long, doesn't it?
And it's the same royal family.
It was too, actually. His Royal Highness was there.
Tom, I can't tell the difference between those two. It's very, very similar.
Very similar. The length, I think, is an issue. And I think a key to shortening the Olympics in general is, can we just do away with this French translation business? I mean, why do we need it?
Madame's and messieurs.
It slows us down. And there are some things that just don't translate. Et maintenant, nous écoutons la rendition ensemble de la voix Arctic Monkeys. Do we really, really need all that? I also think you've got to get the teams in a little quicker because there's so many of them.
Yeah.
So maybe they could just come in like A to K, L to Z style and rush through. But it is always good to see, especially some of the more obscure teams, the battlers. Did you see Syria come in?
They didn't
have a flag, just a shield. They were all sort of...
There was one, the independent... They flew under the independent athletes. There were three of them.
Yes, apparently if you don't have an international, like, organising committee, you get to be... you get to come in sort of like under a...
So there's if you're not supported by a National Olympic Committee, then you get to you march under that flag. So John Stephenson went under that flag. I don't know if people know that, but he was there.
That is the one. But look, as you guys mentioned, it hasn't been a stellar start for Australia in a whole lot of areas. Of course, as the pool. Oh, we have got one gold medal. We got I think the name Schlanger is going to be forever more immortalised in the record books.
She's going to be etched. So it's a Schlanger
and a Springer and a
C-bomb as well.
And a C-bomb.
There's some
absolutely
good names there.
We've had problems in all sorts of departments. Yachting hasn't gone all that well. Have you heard the Brendan Casey? Aussie's Brendan Casey capsized in the first race, then wait for it, ripped a hole in the hull of his boat trying to get back in. Not only lost the race, he may have lost his deposit. And
he would have gone faster on an aqua trike.
He would have. The road cycling too was good to watch, although the women's road race, a little damp, did you see that?
There was hail.
Hail. You realise why they don't have a Tour de England, because it was just, even Phil Liggett sounded depressed.
I was expecting, with those support cars coming, I was expecting a bit of road rage, that they were so upset.
Absolutely. It was just a carnage waiting to happen. A question, I've been keeping my eye over the equestrian events.
Really? I mean, seriously, Tom?
You've
lasted more than 45 seconds on that one.
You have lasted more than that is impressive, Tom.
Thank
because
you.
Danny Frawley, of course, mentioned what a great job James Brayshaw is doing for rowing. Keep an ear out for Dwayne Russell if you question too, by the way.
I reckon half those horses are drunk. You know when they walk sideways?
They are. That is one of the events, Santo, walking sideways. But it is possibly the most technical of pursuits because, yes, you don't know any of the moves they're doing. But Australia's Lucindia Fredericks did very well despite problems with her horse.
It is such a good-looking horse, isn't it?
It is a great looking horse and
ears pricked. Medium shot, perhaps could just take the nose a tiny bit forward. Nice half pass.
It was a nice half ass. And,
Tom,
you get points for that. Just quickly,
make it real quick.
Bad news, of course, for the missile. He misfired James Magnusson. You knew the race was going badly when, at the start of the third leg, Channel 9 cut to an old episode of Two and a Half Men. You knew it just wasn't going.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tom Reisner. Well, stay with us here. We've got Glenn Robbins to join us shortly here on the Rush Hour Going for Gold. Thank you very much, K-Mac. Yes, this is the Rush Hour Going for Gold. While James Brayshaw and Billy Brownless are in London, we're lucky for the next 2 weeks to have Santo Chilara and Sam Pang with us.
Madame and Monsieur, welcome back to the Rush Hour Going for Gold. Second big hour coming up, and we'll be having a look at the medal tally board. I believe that Kazakhstan and North Korea are still ahead of us. Sam, you've got some exciting news on the opening ceremony.
I'll give it to you now, Santo. Yep. Paul McCartney has finished.
Oh,
hey Jude. So that is the big news there.
I'll be attempting to pronounce the name Peter van den Hoogenbangen. And Tommy G's back with the Olympic quiz. But coming up right after this, a former Greco-Roman wrestler turned TV funny man, Glenn Robbins. How excited are we? We've got another special guest on. Music, please. Glenn Robbins.
Glenn. I brought my music.
Did you bring it? Yeah.
As you do.
Hey, can I just...
Have you tried to do a right-hand turn or left-hand turn out the front of the station here? A hook turn?
No. Yes.
Got these signs up now that speak to you like you're a dog.
Example?
You pull up and then that now goes, wait, wait. Go on round you go, go on. You bark and, you know, go and piss on a tree and keep on going.
Especially just like when the lights start to change, just roll the tennis ball across. Off you go. Off you go, boy.
Now, look, as you can see, I brought in a whiteboard.
Yes, yeah, I can see.
What's written on it?
That's so professional.
These are ideas that I would like to throw on the table for you to talk about, for people to ring up about, but I'm just putting it out there, things that this is how I see it, how I see the current state of the world, you know, in an Olympic sense.
Santa, number one?
What about it?
Well, is it written on the whiteboard? It's Triple M.
Opening ceremony. I see opening ceremony.
Opening ceremony, and, yes.
Ceremony is not spelt like that, Glenn, but anyway, go on.
Opening ceremony. Where was Robin Hood? Friar Tuck?
I know where you're coming from.
Where was the tribute to the Page Three girl? Where was Samantha Fox flying in Nikki Webster style, topless, landing on them with her other bunch of...
I suspect that was the bit that was cut out, I reckon.
Yeah. You're not going with me on this. Okay.
Where were the two Ronnies?
Exactly. Where was Steptoe and Son? Where was Steptoe and Son with a horse and cart wandering around selling stuff?
Okay, that's good.
Okay.
Hang on. I'm interested about the board.
Put a tick next to it.
Yeah, that's done.
But then do we actually write the things there or do we... We just put a tick and then we'll...
You may be overthinking it, but that's fine.
Yeah. What else have we got?
Was William Tell, was he English or was he Swiss?
There's another one. Yeah.
Okay, whatever. Okay, so he's there. Okay, next, I see Liesl Jones.
Jones. I'm happy with the response she made to her critics, and she's done well.
She let them know. She fought back. She said it was the best thing that ever happened to
her. There are some rumours going around that she's overweight, and that when she does get in the pool, they've got to let a bit of the water out because it's getting a bit too... It's getting a bit too deep.
But I don't believe that.
And I happen to, on my desk, I've got an audio track of Liesl training, and I don't know, make up your own mind. That's comedy time.
I reckon we put a cross next to that one.
Have a word to the guy. That was, okay. Okay, what else have we got? The medals. Seriously, the medals. Mm-hmm. How big are they?
They are big.
They're huge.
I noticed that today. They are big. Are they bigger than usual? Have you done a circumference test?
I reckon if you did a little bit of research and you went through and went back, they wouldn't be... I mean, you could serve finger food on those, couldn't you?
You could.
Yeah, which Liesl Jones would be happy with that. Yes.
If there were one made out of pewter, then you could.
They look like the ones that you collect when you play Mario Brothers. You know, when you play Mario Brothers,
a little bit of a tick and a little bit of a cross on
can
that
we
one.
Put a laugh track on that later on?
I can do that later.
Qantas.
Yeah. Qantas.
I can see Qantas.
What are your plans for Qantas?
Have you flown Qantas lately?
I have. I flew on the weekend.
And did you notice who was doing the safety announcement?
Did I know it's the entire team? Oh, okay. Steve Hooker is doing it.
There's reassurance.
Right. That's great. Yeah. A guy who's got the yips.
Who runs in with a stick and goes boing through the air. And he's going to tell me what happens if the plane's going to crash.
So I didn't even notice that. So that's across the board, is it?
Well, they do tell you how to take the brace position if you're a red hot favourite and you lose, which is.
Steve Hooker could actually throw that pole into it if.
If the plane did come down.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have any trouble coming down from that height because he's...
I was about to make a harpooning joke based on the whale sound effect that you used before.
It would have been a magnificent callback. Steve Hooker, though, was a chance of being our flag bearer. Did you know that? But they weren't confident that he'd be able to hold the pole for the entire life. So...
I'm done. Thank you. I'm not no more. I don't know.
That's it.
I can see something else they're saying. Things that we could change.
Well, when I was on your other show...
Yes.
The one at SBS you did for the
Cup Fever.
Cup Fever. I did a segment... Great show.
Thank you very much.
I did a segment which was called Things I Would Change If I...
If you're on the show?
No, if I was in charge of...
Got a few ideas on how you can... Should we hold on to that? Can you wait around for
things I would change for the Olympics.
Okay, we'll come back after the break and we'll do that. Okay, Glenn? You happy with that?
Yeah.
You're not getting upset.
No, but I reckon Samantha Fox flying around, topless.
George and Mildred.
Closing ceremony.
Nice one, Glenn. You've written it. That's indelible ink you've written on that whiteboard. We can't get rid of that stuff. So what's this last one?
Things I would change. I can't even read it. If there's any Olympic people out there listening, get your pens ready because, you know, this is
gold. If Lord Sebastian Coe gets rid of Danny Boyle and puts you in, this is what you'd do.
Is this for an opening ceremony or are you talking about for events?
No, this is the nitty gritty.
Okay.
Within the events, there's little ideas, not huge ideas, little ideas that are going to give a bit of a zhuzh to the Olympics.
Like? Tell me.
Weightlifting. I want all the weights converted to what they would be in domestic items.
Good idea. I think that's a good idea.
So he's going for the world record, which is a billiard table with a fridge on it.
Puts it all in perspective.
Yeah. He's going for the Matt Preston with half a George Columbaris.
Yeah. Wow, that's an Olympic record.
It is.
That would be a big, big performance.
He's going for the Columbaris. Yeah.
No, in the Columbaris way.
Yeah.
A lot of talcum powder for that one.
Yeah. This is a theory that my father used to say, that if you go to the Olympics, it costs a lot of money to train an Olympian. Mm-hmm. If we, the Australian people, spend a lot of money training them, and if they don't win a medal, whatever their event is, that's how they get home. Runners run home, bikies, you know. Steve Hooker can pole vault home.
Well, he can walk home really.
So anyway.
That's interesting because it doesn't work for badminton and stuff like that.
Doubles, they've got to keep it up the whole way home.
Oh, they can actually have to hit the shuttlecock to each other the whole way home.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good punishment.
Mr. Robbins, congratulations. That's a tick for him.
Yeah.
That's very good.
Yep. Okay. I'm suggesting we bring back some of the old events because did you know that they used to do the Olympics in the nude?
In 1896, is that when it started?
No, before that, in the ancient Greek days.
1960?
They were allowed one piece of leather strapping to Matt Shervington style, put yourself back in town.
Yes.
Yeah. But what event would you like to see in the nude is my question to you.
Something where they can't raise the bar, probably.
Glen Beach Volleyball have stayed true to that, though, almost. Yeah, I saw the Italians and the Russians play on the weekend. That is almost.
Do you know what I would do in the beach volleyball to improve it? I'd have them all playing in Eddie Betts shorts. Just as a slight difference. But in the nude, that is an interesting thought. What would you like to see in the nude? Well, certainly not the weightlifting.
What?
Swimming?
The clean and jerk is going to be a lot of fun. Thank you very much. Put that one on the whiteboard.
I did raising the bar before they
went. Fair enough. Okay. Now, another sport that they used to do, which was live pigeon shooting.
No,
they did.
They actually shot real pigeons.
I made a little thing. This is how it would sound if you were... And what's her name? Lauren. What's her name?
Mark.
What's her name? Lauren Martin. Mark. She'd be doing that in a bikini. With Samantha Fox picking up the dead birds.
Is this a dream you once had?
With episodes of George and Mildred on the big screen. There you go, Glenn.
Okay. Now, join me with me on this one.
Yeah. All right.
They used to do the tug of war.
Oh, that's good.
When did that stop, Glenn? Sorry, I shouldn't ask follow-up questions.
No, you shouldn't ask follow-up questions. I would have said...
I suspect 28 or something like that. The Amsterdam Games.
Oh, okay. 1928, no worries.
Here is my idea. Let's bring back all the schoolyard games that you used to play, like
British Bulldog.
British Bulldog.
Kiss Chasey.
Hoppo Bumpo.
I don't know that
what's
one.
What's
Hoppo
that?
Bumpo.
That's when you're on my leg.
That was in the ancient Greek games, was it?
Crossball, tunnel ball, skippy.
Brandy?
Poison ball, brandy.
Won't brandy would be good. Is poison ball the same as brandy? I reckon they're the same. Possibly a slightly different discipline.
Imagine hide and seek. Hiders, ready. Coming ready or not. One, two, three. Have you got any? Because I'm out. That's
pick up papers.
Pick up yard duty.
Yeah. I would have represented my country.
Yeah. Well, having lunch.
Yeah.
That's not a game.
Hanging around the bike sheds. Yeah.
But don't you think I'm when you talk about you, like before you spoke about the how you'd improve the where was Robin Hood and everything wouldn't you improve the archery if you had to dress up as your favorite merry man?
Why not? Absolutely.
I think that would work.
That would
one.
Work. Glenn, thank you so much for coming in.
No, you don't mean that.
No, we will. We're going to ring up Sebastian Coe. Yeah. We've got a direct line to him. Thank you for coming in. I do really appreciate it. Please, Sam, will you give a warm round of applause?
I thought Glenn was going to stay for the quiz.
Will you stay around for the quiz, Glenn?
I'd love to stay for the quiz.
You know so much about the Olympics.
Play a music track, quick.
Santo Chilaro and Sam Pang.
The countdown is on. Only 38 Farmer Wants a Wife promos before Emily Seabomb swims for gold.
Higher, stronger, faster, gooder. Yes, it's time now for the Rush Hour's Olympic Quiz.
Triple M is in no way affiliated with or officially sanctioned by the Olympic Games, its athletes, events or official partners, formally recognised by the IOC.
And here's your quizmaster, Tom Gleisner.
Okay, time to test our buzzers. Ooh. Santo Chilaro. Oh. Sam Pang. Glenn Robbins.
Nice.
I think that might be a copyright piece of music. Okay, let's kick it off. Name the member of the royal family competing in this year's games. Who was that?
That was me. Henry VIII.
Close. No cigar. It was Zara Phillips, the Queen's granddaughter.
And whose mother competed. I should have known. She fell off the horse.
Mm-hmm. I think the horse is also related to the Queen. So it's a lovely family affair. In what sport would one perform a whip double Arabian? Sam Pang. Sam.
That's something you would do at the Olympic Village after about 11 p.m, I think. But that is.
Yes, Glenn.
It's a Russell Coit move.
It's in fact a gymnastics move. Listen carefully. Name this song, artist, and the Olympics from which it came. Please, someone quickly.
Sarah Brightman.
No.
Oh.
It's open. Free swing, Sam and Glenn. Sam.
Pavarotti?
She died recently.
Oh.
In sort of suitably tragic Hollywood circumstances.
Amy
Winehouse.
No. Whitney Houston.
Yeah.
The song was... She said it.
A moment in time.
It. Thank you, Sam. One moment in time, Tom.
Rome, 1896.
1988. Seoul. Uh-huh. That's no points. Is being held at the Lord's Cricket Ground?
Arrow shooting.
Correct. Yes. Name is?
It's archery.
In double points. Archery indeed. All right, this is a tricky one, so fingers on the buzzers. Name in order the five legs of the modern pentathlon. Glenn Robbins.
Shooting.
I didn't say in order, but I'll take it. Okay, shooting.
Fencing.
Uh-huh. Mm.
Swimming.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Horse riding.
You got it.
And then there's one more, isn't
there?
Yep. Running. 3K run.
This year, they're actually going to do fencing, swimming, riding, and they're combining the running and shooting. You run like a kilometre, shoot at something, and then run.
And so they're the disciplines that were learnt in World War One. Is that
where it comes from?
Yeah, that's how it comes from. Yeah, you were supposed to, all officers were supposed to be good at all those five things.
Fencing?
Yeah.
Are you building a fence?
That's an Italian event.
Oh, okay. All right, listening carefully. Mm. Identify this sport.
Oh.
Oh, boy.
Glenn.
Judo?
No.
Or taekwondo?
You can't keep going, Glenn. You're
A bad dive?
Good, but no. Sam, you can work your way through every other Olympic sport until you get it.
I would say it's the diving.
Women's gymnastics.
Yes.
Okay, yes.
Is
anyone on any points
here? I don't.
I think you're one each.
One each, all right. That sounds pretty good. All right.
Two to Santo, one to Glenn.
Oh, thank you.
Sam, you've got nothing.
Good on your field. Leave
him a run late.
All right. A little bit of language translation here. What does the word judo mean in English? Sam Pang.
Boring.
Have you watched it?
Feisty girls in pyjamas.
I reckon it's a hamburger that McDonald's is going to put out after the Olympics. The judo burger.
The McDonald's judo burger. Yeah.
Have you seen the McDonald's ad? I don't get it. The kid wants to stay up and watch sport, watch the Olympics, and his dad, single parent household, I'm suggesting, doesn't want him. Do you know this one?
Yeah. And then in the end,
he gets relents and goes, all right, they have a little prize. Yeah. They build a tent.
Yeah, and put a torch on and then, obviously... Weird.
All that one can say. Yeah. In boxing, what is the lightest weight class? Glenn.
the Jenny Craig.
Okay, I'm going for a joke. Okay.
Flea weight.
Flea weight is close, Sam.
Flyweight.
Quite correct. The light flyweight. All right, we're gonna rock it home here. Team nicknames.
Okay.
I'll ask, what is the nickname of our men's basketball team?
The Easy Beats.
Anyone?
Boomers.
Quite correct. Our women's basketball team.
Opals.
Yeah, you didn't ding, so no points. Say it again.
Opals.
Correct. Got a point. Our men's volleyball team.
The Volleyers.
Close, but no cigar. Sam, come on.
The Ballers.
The Volley Roos.
Okay.
Our men's water polo team.
Sharks.
The Sharks. Yes. Quite correct. Here's a tricky one. The New Zealand women's hockey team.
The Black Sticks.
Quite well done. And finally, Bernard Tomic.
The Black Stick.
And the final scores are, Higa?
The final scores are Santo on 2, Glenn on 4, Sam on 1, which of course means that Glenn is our winner. So
thank you very much. Congratulations, Glenn. You take home the ultimate indulgence, a Streets Magnumson. No, not going to work on any level. Santo, get us out of this, please.
And, you can take your whiteboard with you. There's a prize. Thank you for joining us, Glenn.
It's been a pleasure. Good luck. Have a wonderful 2 weeks. I'll be tuning in to get the updates.
And we'll be taking this baby home right after the break. And why are some of the seats just left empty? Because some of the events are boring. Everyone's getting upset. Well, some of them just don't want to go.
I'm not sure that was Lord Sebastian Coe's official response to the thing.
He got narky. He just said, "Oh, come on. First day and you're having a go at the when you get put in a corner and you start biting back a bit. I don't know whether I like that, Lord Sebastian.
No, there are a lot of empty seats though, Santo. So they're asking questions. The London Olympic organisers have drafted in military. They're actually soldiers to fill empty stadiums.
And teachers.
Mm. But more back to soldiers though. That's making the competitors from Germany and France very, very comfortable to compete in front of the English military.
Oh, come on,
it's always nice.
Be bygones. Cadell Evans is not going to be competing in the individual time trial.
Why not?
Fatigue. Now come on. How weak is that? What has he done in the last month that could have made him tired?
Well, I think it's made even worse because I watched the Tour de France and I thought that he had it off. He just completely he stopped pedaling about day 6. So it's even more ridiculous. But Stephanie Rice, I think it was on Saturday. Mm-hmm. It seems so long ago. But she failed to retain her 400-meter individual medley title. And I thought that the poolside interviewer was a little tough.
Yeah, how do you feel, Stephanie?
I feel like I've let Australia down.
Well, you have, really.
I worked so hard.
Not hard enough, honey.
That's the sort of hard-hitting interview that you want after a race, though. That's no sugarcoating there, Santo. No, that's what you want.
I do laugh. Do you watch, in the morning, is it Cameron Williams and Layla McKinnon? They do the report.
Together, at last.
It's before London Gold. Now, they sit on a very big bench. Yeah, they're right next to each other, like... person invading someone else's personal space.
Yeah, you've got a problem with this?
No.
Well, they're in a close-knit family.
They are a close-knit family. But the optimism with which they treat everybody is hilarious. I watched Natalie Cook and Tamsin Hinchley. They lost their first set to the Americans. And you came back straight to them and they're going, our beach volleyball is looking good. They proceeded to lose in straight sets. And you're going, what were you looking at? What were you watching?
What else? Anything else? Medal tally? Did you want to just quickly say that...
I think China's ahead. Does it matter?
No.
China, they've got 6 golds, 4 silvers, 2 bronze. The USA coming second with 3 gold, 5 silver and 3 bronze. Italy. 2 gold. They're third at the moment. They did a clean sweep in the women's fencing. They got first, second, and third. So they're on 2 golds, 3 silvers, and 2 bronze. Whereas the Australians, we're on 1-1-1. But as I said before, below North Korea and below Kazakhstan. So we're not traveling.
I always like looking at our medal tally because you actually can see the numbers and you know who they are.
Exactly.
So you know that the gold medal was the relay team, silver was Springer, and bronze was Coots. It's nice.
And a bad fourth was was our relay team.
No medals for that one.
We'll be back with more after the break. We're approaching the finishing line, aren't we, Higo?
We are indeed. This is the Rush Hour going for gold on Triple M.
And for those who haven't heard the news, Scott Thompson from the Adelaide Crows has no case to answer on the Stephen Johnson incident. It happened right at the start of the game. Stevie J lasted only 4 seconds. Now, that is unfair for the media to put his personal life, splash it all over
the media like that. I do not like that.
No.
I reckon we're about to reach the finish line, especially after that. And there's a few things coming up tonight. Actually, what is it? Should we? Here you go.
Yes.
The medal tally.
Oh, yes.
Me and Sam's medal tally.
I wrote it down somewhere.
What do you reckon in terms of how many golds and silvers and bronze you reckon Sam got today?
I had him down for a silver.
Just
for
one.
Yeah, for the Stephenson independent athlete joke.
Thank you, Hugo. I enjoyed that.
No gold.
Well, I thought my Prince of, I think the Duke of Edinburgh stuff earlier would have.
Well, that was all right. But, thank you. I'm a harsh critic. And I think Tommy. Well, yourself, Santo, we definitely... what was your joke now? I've written it down and I can't find it.
This is why we don't throw to Higo, by the way.
This is why you don't do it. I guess we get straight to the point here, but I had to go for gold for Tommy for his farting horse.
I like that.
Congratulations.
Did that the
so
first
Tom,
hour
Tom ahead of everybody. Yes. Tom's still here, by the way. Tom, what will you be watching tonight? Because there's a few highlights.
There's a smorgasbord of sport, Santo. 4:51 a.m. Mm-hmm. If you set the alarm...
I've already set it.
Done. Well, you can watch the 100 metres women's backstroke final. And I figure it only goes for 58 seconds. And I reckon if you wake up, watch it, and go straight back to sleep, then it'll be like it never happened.
Nice. Nick Darcy, Michael Phelps. That's the big showdown.
Heats of the 200-metre butterfly. Tommy mentioned at 4:51, Emily Seabomb. At 5:15, though, Liesl Jones in the 100-metre breaststroke. That's important.
What lane is Liesl in, Sam?
She's in lane 6, 7, and 8. Thank you, okay, Tommy. And by the way, the other important time...
Give him another bronze for that.
Yeah, I will.
The other important time is at 5:33. Lauren Mark will just be getting home to the Olympic Village. So she's out. That's the big news, too, that the shooter Lauren Mark is out.
We have crossed the finish line. Stick around, because tomorrow we've got another enormous show coming up. Our friend Lindley Frame. She'll be in here to talk about the swimming. Wayne Carey, are we allowed to call him the Duck, or do we have to call him the King?
King.
Yeah, I think it's King, tomorrow.
The King tomorrow. And then we'll see how we go after that.
Yeah, I think we'll be Wayne by the end of the show.
We'll be catching up with JB. We're going to try and track him down on the way to the rowing. I believe he's on a train getting down. That'll be fun. And that's all coming up on the Rush Hour Going for Gold tomorrow. Happy viewing.